Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We don't need a Ferguson report to know that's not true. We just need to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to know that this nation's racial history still casts its long shadow upon us.
No community in America would tolerate an 18-year-old boy laying in the street 4.5 hours, and we're not going to tolerate it either. Whatever happened, the value of this boy's life must be answered by somebody.
Well, it was answered today, Al. You did good work, Al. You did real good work. As you well know, two officers were shot today, and the idiots at the L.A. Times said they were not serious injuries. I would hope that the writer at the L.A. Times doesn't get shot in the eye and have a bullet lodged in his brain, and then I wonder if he'd call it a not serious injury. Yeah, the bullet's still in the man's head from one of these upstanding pieces of human trash. Human trash. Around the clock protesting. What do they do for a living exactly? Where do they get these rats from? Who are they? Just exactly who are these 24/7 protesters who haven't had a job in this entire time? Their full-time job is working for the federal government. That's what they do for a living. They report to Agitation Central in the White House. So I ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, you know my feelings on this. Who do you blame for the shootings of the two policemen in Ferguson who were just simply monitoring a protest? Who do you blame for this? You know my feelings. I blame President Obama. I blame Attorney General Holder. And I blame their street rat, Al Sharpton. That's my opinion. I blame these people because their rhetoric set off the triggers. They didn't do the shooting. That's never how it works. No, they don't do the shooting. But they agitate the crowd. Didn't Al Sharpton say that this has to be answered? Well, there were two gunshots. There were two answers. Two cops were shot, one in the face. Not a serious injury to the LA Times, but the bullet still lodged in the cop's brain. You know what really needs to be done here? All the police need to be removed from Ferguson. What we should do is raise money in America to get them jobs around America with pensions, get a huge fund going, maybe get them hired in other police departments, and close down the police department in Ferguson and let the animals manage their own city. Let the outside agitators from Chicago see how safe they'll be without police there to hate. And let the thugs who sell drugs part-time and let us say protest the other time, let them see how safe they'll be there without cops. I am so sick of this. This is a direct result of the President of the United States agitating the crowd over the weekend. In case you missed it, which I didn't, and I was agitated over this, if you remember, and people said I was overplaying it, he was calling for the agitators to get back to work. Yes, he was. Listen to clip number 3 today. If you disagree with me, think again. Listen to 3.
We don't need a Ferguson report to know that's not true. We just need to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to know that this nation's racial history still casts its long shadow upon us. We know the march is not yet over.
Racial history. I love how he suddenly reverts to some kind of preacher thing. The man who went to Columbia, the man who never suffered a day in his life, the spoiled, pampered student who went to Punahou was suddenly an oppressed minority. Changes his accent according to the crowd, along the lines of Hillary Clinton, who speaks in tongues when she gets in front of certain churches. Oh, yeah, we have those tapes, too. What a nation we have become, where charlatans and agitators rise to the highest level. And what are we going to do about it? Right now, we're going to talk about it, because I am only a talk show host. I'm not a politician. I'm not running for office. This is a forum called Talk Radio, the last forum left in America. Newspapers don't take your letters to the editor, do they? So where can you talk? Well, you can send emails on the internet, which many people do, and I read the blogs. But you can also call Talk Radio, And the phone number here is 855-407-2822. The main question for us today, and this is not going to be a three-hour dirge, we'll run it as long as you want to talk about it. How do you feel about the President of the United States? How do you feel about the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder? How do you feel about them associating with one of the lowest forms of human life to have ever entered the political realm, Al Sharpton, a man known for agitation and racial hatred, a man known for being a liar and an agitator, in and out of the White House? And by the way, this rat was in and out of the White House last week before the Selma march. So don't think there was no coordination. And by the way, one other little connection here in case you missed it. What did I tell you on this show yesterday when we were discussing the Hillary press conference? The email scandal, the email gate, which I called it. What did I say to you would happen? What did I tell you? Does anyone remember? Raise your hand in the audience if you remember what I said to you. What I'm going to do is play for you now a soundbite from that yesterday or the day before where I said another crisis will take the focus off Hillary Clinton. That's right. Listen to the most prescient voice in talk radio. Listen now. The scandal will probably go on for a while. And the Democrats have other viable candidates. After all, there's the great Joe Biden. Imagine him running America. How would you like that one? Or will Bill Clinton save the day for her? Or is the Obama administration secretly trying to sabotage her candidacy? There's no love lost between the Clinton camp and the Obama camp. Will another crisis coming along any moment now make everyone forget about this scandal? After all, it's been used before. Remember Wag the Dog when Bill Clinton bombed Serbia on very, very small pretense in order to drive Monica off the headlines? You forgot that? You forgot that? Is that not chilling? Are you telling me there's no possibility, knowing the cozy connection between these street radicals and the entire Democrat machine? You're telling me there's no linkage here or no possible linkage, saying to them, go and do something, do whatever you have to do, make it a big incident, do everything you can to make certain that Hillary is off the headlines. Is that a possibility? Nah. Nah, that's just a conspiracy theory from a right-wing nut. See, only the left-wing can think. People on the other side of the aisle have no capacity to think. Not at all. Well, those are my feelings and thoughts today. Who do you blame for the police shooting in Ferguson? How do they stand there in the streets for 6 months at a time without working for a living? Who are these shadowy people? Where do they come from? Why is Obama, Holder, and Sharpton constantly agitating them to do something violent? Huh? WABC and John on WABC, you're the first caller, fire away.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I'm a retired NYPD detective. I don't blame Al Sharpton, but I blame the politicians that enable him. Case in point is twistedjustice@cnn.org.
Oh, please, are you going to go back to that case that you call about and bother me with every day? Will you get the heck off my show? This guy is a bum. Never have this bum on my show again. I'm sick of him. Always bringing up some dumb case from 100 years ago. Don't you recognize the idiot's voice by now? There's another moron from WMAL, John from MAL. Another regular. No regular callers on this show. Okay, let's try again. KKOH, Reno, JR, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. As much as I would like to sympathize with Michael Brown's parents, I blame Michael Brown for what happened.
Well, he's dead. I don't know how you can blame him for shooting the cops.
He's the one who caused the whole situation, is my point, sir.
Well, I know. He was a thug who tried to disarm a cop and shoot him with his own gun. I get it. And then you have the professional agitators who got into the White House using this tactic going back 20 years. How do you think Obama got where he is? With the false outrage and the false oppression his whole life. Oppressed Obama. Using the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., using the legacy of those who actually suffered slavery to capitalize on it for their own personal gain. It is nauseating. And now two cops are shot, one in the eye, which the LA Times, by the way, I'll repeat again, look it up, not seriously injured. The bullet is still lodged in the man's head. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round. The fight's not over. Justice will come to Ferguson.
So Al Sharpton said justice will come to Ferguson. I wonder if this is anyone's form of justice. A lot of the outside agitators are happy. They're breaking out the bongs now, celebrating the shooting of two pigs. I read the blogs. You don't even understand who's behind this. You think it's the people of Ferguson? You're telling me those people who are out in the streets day and night are working people? They're not working people. They work for the federal government or a local agency. They're on welfare. They're on some kind of aid. Or they're from Chicago, from some communist front group. You know of the type I mean, the Bill Ayers type, in my opinion. You know the old white communists always agitate minorities to bring it all down, girl. Yeah, they're the same ones who say boycott Israel and don't talk about the ISIS murders and kidnapping. It's called liberalism, a cancer on a nation's soul. And the cancer is spreading. And today the cancer hit two policemen. LA Times says not serious injuries. Of course, the bullet is still lodged in the man's head behind his ear, but that's not a serious injury to one of the very important writers at the LA Times. Nothing, anyway. So it's a bullet behind the ear. But it gets even better. MSNBC, which is a disgrace to Bill Gates. Remember, there's an MS to NBC there. We know who Phil Griffin is. We know Phil Griffin destroyed a once decent network. We know that. We know Phil Griffin because of his twisted agenda. The man who runs MSNBC, I think he has even a bigger job than that, picks some of the lowest minds in America to spew hatred around the clock. Yes, it doesn't pay off, but it doesn't matter. What you don't understand is just as newspapers across America continue to lose money because nobody will read them anymore, because they don't want to read anti-white, anti-family, anti-church, anti-man, anti-woman. They don't want to read it anymore. They're sick of it, so they stop buying the newspaper. But that doesn't stop the left-wing fanatics from printing the same rubbish every day, does it? Well, it doesn't stop Phil Griffin from letting these low-life mentalities espouse this hatred on a daily basis. So last night was a new low. Just before the cops got shot, there was an exchange with some unknown host who thinks he's important, but no one listens to him, calling for the disarming of police. Listen to this, if you will.
What about disarming the police? What about just having them carry nightsticks and the authority to arrest? I mean, now it would take a brave person to do something like that, right. But if you really want to, there are places on the face of this earth are police officers that don't carry firearms.
Why don't you do it? You're a brave person. You shoot off your fat blubber mouth behind the microphone with guards around you in your little studio there. Why don't you blubber mouth go down to Ferguson and patrol without a gun, you moron you? See if they embrace you because you're a liberal white man. See if they invite you into their little circle, you idiot you. Look, I could go on and on. We know who did this. We know who pulled the trigger, don't we? No. We don't know who pulled the trigger. Any more than we know who pushed Zyklon B capsules into the gas chamber. It wasn't Himmler who put the Zyklon B capsules into the gas chamber, was it? Was it Hitler who actually pulled a switch that released the Zyklon B gas on the innocent Jews? No! He just published the rhetoric in his book. He just published the rhetoric. And it was for the underlings, it was for the animals to follow his orders. It was a hint, it was a wink-wink. That's how fascist dictatorships operate. It's the same in any mafia-like organization. Do you think the head of a crime family does the killing? Of course not. He rubs his nose, someone dies. He touches his ear, someone dies. That's how it works. You didn't watch The Godfather? You didn't hear him talking about buffers? There's a lot of buffers between the head guy and the rats in the street, don't you get it? But it's a connection. How do I know it's a connection? Is it my fantasy? Obama himself admitted that he met with the head of the Ferguson protesters several times in the White House. So don't tell me there's no connection between the White House and the violence in the streets. Don't tell me there's no connection between Al Sharpton's vicious mouth and what happened in Ferguson, because I will disagree with you. Yeah, his own words will tell you that he wanted something like this to happen. Well, not exactly. He just said that justice should prevail. Didn't he say that there should be some reaction to what happened? What was he saying? What did he actually want to happen? He wanted the rioters to dance with the police, or he wanted the police on their knees begging for their lives? Or did he want a bullet in the face of one of the men? Why don't you ask him? Ask him the next time you're allowed to ask Phil Griffin to get a question in on MSNBC. I am just sick of all of this. My country is burning because the street agitator, Barack Hussein Obama, is in the White House. Make no mistake about it, he's no different than Al Sharpton. It's just a different rhetoric. It's just a different delivery. One is much smoother than the other, but they're basically of the same exact mindset. You disagree with me? Then why does he invite that street rat in the White House? And let me repeat it for you again, you stupid liberals, you. Well, I got to stop right now because I'm not going to repeat it again. Imagine if a far-right candidate wins in America, despite all of the possibilities of it not happening. But imagine someone from the extreme far-right who had gone to a church for 20 years in which a Ku Klux Klan preacher was preaching white pride, preaching about the white race for 20 years. Then the candidate appears and says, look, I disavowed my connection with the preacher. I never heard him say that. My wife and I never heard him talk about white power. Never. We were in his church, yes, but we didn't go there for that. We went there for Jesus. Now, wait. He gets away with that. He becomes president. And into the White House over the next 6 years comes one of the worst white racists from the Ku Klux Klan in and out of the White House. Tell me what the good boys and girls at Associated Press would be doing. Can you put two and two together? Can you understand by a series of opposites exactly what's happened to your country? Do you understand what extremists have now hijacked the entire Democrat Party? Do you understand why no Democrat should ever be elected again? Do you understand they're part and parcel of the same racist enterprise?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
We don't need a Ferguson report to know that's not true. We just need to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to know that this nation's racial history still casts its long shadow upon us.
No community in America would tolerate an 18-year-old boy laying in the street 4.5 hours, and we're not going to tolerate it either. Whatever happened, the value of this boy's life must be answered by somebody.
Must be answered by somebody. Well, I guess that somebody was up there on the grassy knoll. You know, the protesters didn't do the shooting. They're all innocent. They said the shots didn't come from us. It came from a grassy knoll above us. Al Sharpton didn't ask anyone to shoot the cops. Certainly the esteemed president of the United States of America didn't ask anyone to shoot the police. Certainly the clean as the driven snow attorney general has clean hands with regard to this. He didn't go down there and agitate these vermin over and over again. No, they have nothing to do with it. Their hands are clean. So who did it? Who is it who told whoever did this to do it? You can blame it on Nixon, maybe. Maybe Nixon told him to do it. Maybe the ghost of Nixon caused it. This is another low day in American history. And I can ask you over and over again, who did this? You know the answer. It's coming from the top down. It's coming from the top down. And the only answer here is for the Ferguson Police Department, for us to raise money, give them jobs across America, and have no police in Ferguson. and then let the animals take care of themselves. Then let's see if the white agitators from Chicago, who are buddies with the street rats, the drug dealers who are pretending to be oppressed minorities, let's see how long they'll stay in Ferguson without police to protect them. Let's see how long your daughter from Columbia University will spend in Ferguson without a cop to protect her, the same cop at whom she spits. How about that for an idea? I don't know what else to say about this. I knew this would happen. This is exactly what would happen. We all knew this was going to happen. When you had the President of the United States acting like a street agitator over the weekend at Selma, again, the same rhetoric that we've heard, opening up old wounds, agitating the people on the bottom, with a wink and a nod, giving them the signal they were supposed to be given, code words, code signal. After all, he had the head of the Ferguson protesting a group into the White House several times. He didn't have Michael Savage in there once, did he? Did he have one conservative voice ever visit the White House to give the opinion of the voters of America? Never. Instead, he had an agitator from Ferguson in and out of the White House. Instead, he has one of the lowest forms of human life in and out of the White House. And what do you expect is going to happen when you do this? You expect there's going to be healing? Obama thrives on division. He can only survive on division. He lives on division. It's his modus operandi. Look how far it's gotten them. $15 million vacations, use of Air Force One, no questions asked, an open checking account, an open, credit card on a taxpayer's dime, any vacation he wants, foreign gifts, doesn't matter. No one will say one word to him because he's different than you and I. He doesn't look like Nixon, does he? He doesn't look like any of the people running on the Republican side, does he? And because he doesn't look like any of them, therefore he has to be treated differently. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that you have to treat people differently in America? Well, that's exactly what's going on. I'm going to take some calls, then I'm going to move on. I have some very interesting topics I want to move on to. I guess I can give you a preview. Because they caught my eye. I don't know where I put the story. I got so upset today watching this. I was upset all morning. I couldn't focus. I was just so agitated beyond myself because the police now are targeted because of the president. The police have become moving targets because of the president of the United States, the attorney general, and their henchmen. Phil Griffin of MSNBC, in my opinion. They're all part and parcel of the same team. The anti-police, anti-white, anti-family, anti-church administration, along with the anti-police, anti-white, anti-church MSNBC, one and the same. Izvestia was far more objective than is Phil Griffin's outlet. Shame on you, Microsoft. Shame on Bill Gates, who poses as a humanitarian, for having his fingers in this dirty pie. Here are some other topics I want to talk about. One is a guest I'm going to have in the next hour named Pastor John Hagee, who is going to talk about Netanyahu's visit to the U.S. last week and why the U.S. and Israel relationship is so important. But it's more about the historical significance of the phenomenon known as the Blood Moon and what the Blood Moon means for Israel, the Middle East, and the world. I know many of you are skeptical of biblical prophecy, but many of you are not. And so for the many of you who are not, we'll go in your direction today because we see where the atheists have led us. We see where their prophecies have led us, right back where Karl Marx left off, Barack Obama began. Only three times in the past 500 years have four blood moons, or tetrads, occurred back-to-back in our major Jewish holidays. Did you know that? In 1493, Spain's rulers had expelled all Jews and Columbus had discovered America, an eventual haven for the Jewish people. That was the first four blood moon. 1948, the second, the founding of Israel. 1967-68, following the Six-Day War, Jerusalem rejoins the State of Israel. And so now we have it coming again. When? We're very close to it. On April 15th, 2014, we had the fourth tetrad began on April 15th, 2014, on Passover. And so he's going to tell us what he thinks these signals are. There's another article that caught my attention of how not to bring up a narcissist. I don't know what I did with the article. I think it's on the other side of the room, not on the other side of the moon. How not to raise a narcissist in 9 easy steps. Most of the young parents today are raising narcissistic children who are not fit for life. Remember how many years I've been telling you, oh, Johnny, that's good. Even when Johnny strikes out, Johnny flings the bat and hits another kid in the head with it. Good job, Johnny. Did you ever see these kids? Incompetent on the baseball field. And the father saying, good job, Johnny. Instead of saying, hey, idiot, you don't let go of the bat after you swing. You're liable to kill somebody. You're not fit for baseball. Go home and learn chess. Narcissists are largely bred, not born, we learn. No kidding. No kidding. You mean turning a narcissist into a narcissist because the mother and the father are narcissists is something unusual? Those are some of the other topics we're going to get to. But I want to talk about the shooting of the police, what Obama, Holder, and Sharpton have to do with it. Okay? It's that simple. Let's begin on WMAL in Washington, DC. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, a little off topic. But you always, language talks for borders. I would like to point out that you continually call the left liberal. And to me, that kind of solidifies how they're winning on the language border, because liberal, classically, historically, originally, meant something good. And they twisted it to mean...
Of course we know that. That's elementary, my dear Watson. We all know that. They're not liberals. We understand that. I was a liberal, and I still am, by the way.
Me too, and I think that...
Let me tell you something. My politics haven't changed in many, many a year. I'm the same person I was in the 1970s. I want the government off my back. I want equal opportunity, and I want less regulation and fewer taxes. So how does that make me a right-winger?
It doesn't. It makes you a liberal, and I think that's something us as true liberals should stop calling the left liberals, because they're winning.
Well, I don't really call them liberals. I said liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism is not being a liberal, is it? Liberalism is a religion. Okay, well, we're talking rhetoric now. We know what they are. They're the neo-fascists of today. I get it. I understand that. Wes on WABC, go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage. And the topic is Obama and how he's dividing people. Instead of fostering a sense of national community based on intelligence, he is dividing people by race and ethnicity, creating a primal horde consciousness. Obama's categorization of people in black, white, brown, red, yellow, and pink is like Hitler's Aryans, Jews, Slavs, and Gypsies. And he's using those people, putting them against each other, and using the emotional hatred from that to gain control of the situation.
But he's done that his entire professional life. It's called demagoguery. This is how he got where he is. He got here by dividing and turning people against each other. So has he stopped? Well, who stopped him? John Boehner? Who's going to stop him? Mitch McConnell? Who's going to stop him? Phil Griffin on MSNBC? Who is going to call him out for what he really is? A left-wing agitator. Who's going to actually say the president has always been a left-wing agitator and a demagogue, and it's time for him to grow up? Who is going to actually say that?
Who?
Who wrote the Book of Love? I need to calm down. I'm so agitated by this after doing the White Owl on Monday, which was a departure from my show where I said you have to forgive Obama. I said don't accept what he's done or what he's going to do. I said forgive him. Get the hatred out of your heart. And then a day like this comes along and all my rage spills over again. It's very difficult for me. Last night I actually painted the White Owl. I told you I've taken up painting again beginning last Thanksgiving. And I'm still terrible, still like an infant with a paintbrush. But it doesn't prevent me from expressing myself in my infantile way with a paintbrush. And I did a very interesting rendition of a White Owl last night. I can't say I slept more peacefully, but I did enjoy using the paintbrush and the paints. So now I wake up to this. Bleary, get out of bed, come to the computer, click on the computer, and bam, hits me in the eye again. First site I go to is either my website or the Drudge Report. Matt's always ahead of everyone, and there it was. Right in my eyes. Ferguson cop shot. Oh, God, I said, not again. I said, look what Obama has wrought. That was my first emotion. Look what Holder has done. Look what Sharpton and his loud, filthy mouth has created. Two cops were shot. But I said, they're not going to be blamed for this. You know that. They're not going to blame that. And so far, not one Republican has said a word, incidentally. Have you noticed that? Am I right, Robert? Robert, are you healing? Are you getting better? Robert had a strep throat. He was out for a day down in Dallas. Let's hope Robert gets better because there'll be no show. And Doug in Oregon was sick. Robert was sick. Jim doesn't get sick. The older guys don't get sick. The younger guys get sick. I shouldn't say that. That's a curse. You know, you can't say things. The next second, you'll hear the microphone fall down. I got great guys who work for the show. They're all in different places. I wish we were all in the same room. Actually, no, I take that back. I'm glad we're not because I'd have a strep throat. Thank God I'm separated from Robert by a Skype screen. He's 1,500 miles away. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go to WLWI Radio. Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for having me. I wanted to answer your question, and I also wanted to make a quick statement about the situation in Ferguson. I think that we have to go back a little bit to see who caused it, and I would say Bill de Blasio. When he said that he and his wife had to have that talk with Dante, their son, afterwards you've seen a rush of violence toward police. And then afterwards things in Ferguson metastasized. Of course, cops got shot and one got hatcheted. I think that with everything that happened in New York, it was on the world stage. So everyone got to see it, and it got grandstanded in the media. And
oh, so you think that de Blasio's police hatred is now spilled over to the police shooting in Ferguson? Well, I wouldn't say it's a direct cause. I would say it's part and parcel of the same agitation that Obama and Holder use. It's not any different than what de Blasio uses. They're all part of, they're cut from the same ice cream cake. I mean, de Blasio, Obama, Sharpton, Holder, they're cut from the same ice cream cake, wouldn't you say?
I would agree. And for everyone out there that says that Black Lives Matter, I don't see anyone marching for U.S. Deputy Marshal Josie Wells, who was shot by a piece of trash in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a couple of days ago. You know, that was a black...
No. Well, that's because he's, even though he's black, his life doesn't matter because he's wearing a blue uniform.
Agreed.
No, I know that. He was a black officer shot by a black thug. I get it. And there was no marching and no screaming. Apparently that black life didn't matter. Only the black lives of drug dealers matter. Is that right?
I agree.
It's sickening. You know, I got to tell you something. I'm a white man, obviously. I don't know how I'd feel if I were a middle-class black guy who dragged myself up from nothing and is making a decent living in the country, finally having a piece of the American pie, and now I wake up and the first black president is making my life uncomfortable because white people are now looking at me as though they fear me. They didn't fear me 8 years ago. It was sort of okay. We're all getting along somewhat. Then the agitator came along. The community agitator came along. As a black man calling the show, do you find the feelings in the nation are any different?
I think it's worse, and I'm here in Montgomery, so we're 54 miles away from Selma. I didn't go. I didn't want to be around all of that stuff. So I heard his speech, and I found it very condescending.
Yes. You know, well, hold on. No, I want to hear this. Why did he choose to bring up Selma again? What's the big, all over again? Why? How come we didn't hear about Selma last year, the year before? Why? Why did he have to do it now on the heels of Ferguson? What good could have come of it but this? Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
No community in America would tolerate an 18-year-old boy laying in the street 4.5 hours, and we're not going to tolerate it either. Whatever happened, the value of this boy's life must be answered by somebody.
Well, I guess that it was answered by somebody on the grassy knoll. Two officers were shot, and I guess that was the answer. What do you mean by it must be answered? Of course, the protesters didn't have anything to do with it. The white agitators from Chicago and New York who have nothing to do, who are there day and night partying, getting stoned, having a good time, receiving government checks or agitation checks, as they call them. They had nothing to do with it. Boy, the shots came from behind them. They were there just seeking social justice. Well, Bill Gates ought to look into the social justice promulgated on MSNBC.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Is to suggest that Ferguson is an isolated incident, that racism is banished, that the work that drew men and women to Selma is now complete, and that whatever racial tensions remain are a consequence of those seeking to play the race card for their own purposes.
No community in America would tolerate an 18-year-old boy laying in the street 4.5 hours, and we're not going to tolerate it either. Whatever happened, the value of this boy's life must be answered by somebody.
I rest my case. We know that those who pull the trigger are not those who agitate those who pull the trigger. We know how fascism works. We know how demagoguery works. We know exactly what went on here, which is that after months of the president, the attorney general, and their number one street operative, Al Sharpton, courtesy of Bill Gates and MSNBC, courtesy of Phil Griffin of MSNBC for keeping this loud on the air, the espousing of racism on a daily basis finally resulted in a murderous mob shooting two white police officers in Ferguson, Missouri, early Thursday. It was not enough that a local judge had quit. It was not enough that the vicious Eric Holder's Justice Department, after trying to legally lynch Officer Darren Wilson, was unable to lynch him. They had the rope ready. They had it all made. But no matter what they did, they couldn't get the justification for lynching Officer or former Officer Darren Wilson. No. And President Obama just this Saturday or Sunday, and Attorney General Eric Holder, another prize, said that Ferguson was still guilty of racism and they wanted justice. They called for justice. You're telling me that there's no relationship between their rhetoric and the violence? I disagree with you. Not at all. But here we are. I'm not going to do this sewage. I'm not going to keep up the sewage for another hour. We know that the sewage that comes out of the White House is an effluence that should have been capped a long time ago. But no, you elected him again. You didn't have enough of 4 years of him, so you brought him back again. You can blame anybody you want. But the fact of the matter is, two officers were shot. You say, well, what are you making such a big deal of it? Blacks are shot every day of the week. Not quite the same thing. Because the thin blue line is all we have between us and the animals. The animals, the wolves, go around this country and take a look at the wolves stalking you in your parking lot. I don't care if you live in a lily white suburb. There are white wolves, there are black wolves, there are Hispanic wolves, there are Asian wolves. And they're out there, and they're lone wolves. There are Middle Eastern wolves now, roaming America. And who stands between the wolves and you? Why, the wolfhounds. That's who they are. That's right, that blue uniform, those guns, those clubs, those helmets, those boots, they are the wolfhounds who we put there to protect us in a civil society from the wolves. You get that? And now the wolves have been enabled. They were told they were victims. They were victims. And they were told that the cops were the bad guys. This went on now for over and over and over again because of Bill Gates' MSNBC propaganda channel. Over and over again. So finally, they got what they were asking for. Two cops were shot. The protesters finally had their day in the sun. They didn't have anything to do with it, of course. The shots rang out from behind them. It wasn't one of the lily-white girls from Columbia getting down with the people. one of the liberal girls, the type we saw in the 60s with the hairy armpits and the patchouli oil. They're back now. Their armpits aren't hairy and they're not wearing patchouli oil, but the same mentality. You know, getting down with the really bad guys, getting that little thrill that they get, the thrill up their leg from being around the bad guys with tattoos. You can blame them, too. You can blame your own daughter for being there. So what can we say that I haven't already said? I'd like to move on, but it's very hard to move on. It's very hard to move on when you have an agitator-in-chief in the White House. So let's call the callers, and then let's move on. I have a great guest at 30 minutes after the hour. I also want to talk about the topic I mentioned, how not to bring up a narcissistic child. And also the very big story of the boycott against Israel campaign, which is raging out of control now. I found out who's behind it. And just as I feared, it's capo Jewish liberals who are behind the boycott Israel campaign. You heard that. You would think it was Hamas operatives. You would think it was members of ISIS in America. Well, they're the street thugs. But behind them, the thinkers, are capo Jewish liberals who are behind the boycott Israel campaign. And guess what? They go all the way back to the 1964 Freedom Summer campaign to register black voters. That's who they are. They're the same exact Jewish liberals going all the way back to the Andrew Goodwin, Michael Schwerner days. And they're still here. They're still near. They're still everywhere. And now they are so suicidal that they've turned the masses on the state of Israel. That's why I call them capo Jews. We'll talk about them and I'll give you their names. They have names. You want to know their names? Well, they're all Jewish lawyers mainly and professors. That's something you should know. And they have names like Zellner. And although Zellner is 77 years old, he hasn't stopped. He calls Israel a racist nation. And he says nothing about ISIS. His entire hatred is towards his own people. These are not self-hating Jews, as you have heard them called. These are something quite different. These are selves who hate Jews, even though they may be Jewish. Changing the wording a little bit. In other words, the mental disorder that I've been talking about of liberalism is ultimately suicidal. Is it connected to the Ferguson shooting? Generically, not specifically. The same mentality. The same mentality that says if only all the police were disarmed, if only all the police were minorities, if only this, if only that, we'd have a fair America. The same mentality that says boycott Israeli products and the poor Palestinians will suddenly lay down like lambs with a lion. Sure, that's the way the world works. Let's take some callers. WABC in New York City, line number 8. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, line number 8. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you. Listen, I just want to say, number one, that you cannot paint blacks and lump them together with a broad stroke brush. There have been blacks that have been mistreated by police. Clifford Glover, Michael Stewart.
Well, hold on. Hold on, my friend. So that justifies the shooting of the police?
I didn't say it did. I never.
Well, what are you saying? What are you saying then?
What I'm saying is that to paint police as to be all that they never do anything wrong is not true either.
Well, when did you hear me say police never did anything wrong? When did I say that today?
Excuse me, I'm making a statement. You.
I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. When did I say that?
Also said that.
No, you wait a minute. You're saying something I didn't say. When did I say all police are angels?
Excuse me. You
don't play the excuse me game on me. That's how you got where you are today, by playing the excuse me game on everybody. You're espousing racism right now, only you're hiding behind civil rights. Don't tell me that all police are not angels, therefore they should be shot. That's what you're implying. I don't care if you have 18 PhDs. You're still espousing racism.
Emergency service unit. So, you know.
I don't care where you work. You're still espousing racism.
Well, I'm saying the cops are not all angels either.
I'm sorry, your cell phone's breaking up. Trade it in for a Japanese model. The Nokias went out of style about 15 years ago. They don't work as well. Maybe you got it from one of the people in the EMT unit. You know, go buy one. They're cheap today. WABC Frank, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I'm just concerned. I hear your show almost every day, and I have an opinion in regards to President Obama and his policies. I believe that he's going to go out in about a year and a half. Why worry that he'll continue doing damage to our country? He just came and went, and the next president will probably...
You're just pulling my leg. Okay, now make a serious point.
All right, my serious point is this. President Obama is not such a bad person, in my opinion. He's trying to help our country to the best of his ability.
All right, now make a serious point.
All right. Do you think Obama will get Joe Biden into the White House?
Now make a serious point.
All right. Obama is a liberal.
Do me a favor, my friend. Go call Howard Stern and play with balloons tonight, okay? Go get a set of balloons and make them into pornographic animals with Howard Stern somewhere. Leave me alone. Don't call this show anymore. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
The police department's routine use of tasers was found to be not merely unconstitutional, but abusive and dangerous. Records showed a really disturbing history of using unnecessary force against people with mental illness. And our findings indicated that the overwhelming majority of force, almost 90%, is directed against African Americans.
That's Eric Holder before the Ferguson shooting of police officers, constantly agitating for attacks on police, constantly working around the clock to disarm the police and federalize the police force, putting them under one roof. So we have the equivalent of the SA working for Obama and Holder, Sieg Heil. Now let's take some callers. Line number 2, Tom on WJR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm glad to see that you actually admit that you're a liberal.
What is it, that I don't hold a special card that you hold?
No, you...
What do you have, a special card called I'm a conservative? Was that make you something special?
Second Amendment as an individual right to keep and bear arms. You referenced that man to a post-pubescent picture of you and one...
Hold on. Would you shut up for a minute? You're accusing me of not being a conservative when I have been espousing borders, language, and culture for 20 years? Who gives you the right to do so?
...position embarrassed on a daily basis.
You can't use dirty words, my friends. I don't know. Is he still there or he hung up already? He had to run out for a set of diapers. Where is he?
You pass the class. You pass the background check. You can have a personal gun to keep yourself.
Excuse me, sir. What are you railing about? I don't even know what you're talking about. What is agitating you? Did your wife leave you today? What's happened to you today?
You, I've been listening to you for months here in Detroit, and you are not a conservative. You are.
Oh, I don't pass the litmus test. You mean because I don't laugh at elephants being slaughtered? You mean because I don't smoke cigars and eat fatty meat? I'm not a conservative? You mean because I don't play golf like an oaf? I'm not a conservative?
Conservative mindset.
You don't know what a conservative is. You're just one of those stupid men in the streets who walks around thinking that because a person wraps themselves in the flag, they're a conservative. You don't even know what the word means. I'd like you to name one other person in the media who has defined America as a land that is defined by borders, language, and culture. Go ahead. It's your turn. I'm gone. His controller told him to hang up. The talk show host he works for. The one who gives out the little cards with the insignias on them saying, I am a conservative and I belong to the party. Unbelievable. That's what goes on now in the country. Who cares? I figured I'd take him. Just for your entertainment. All right, let's get serious now and not waste our time with the riffraff of America calling radio shows. I know most of you listen not for the callers, but for the show itself. And so we'll go to a topic that I think is interesting rather than conservative or liberal, which is religion and mysticism. And we're going to speak with Pastor John Hagee. I haven't spoken with him for years. He was on the show years ago, and it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Christian or Hindu or Buddhist, it doesn't really matter. Pastor Hagee is a great guest and he does good radio, and he's going to talk about Netanyahu's visit last week and what it means symbolically and about the historical significance of the blood moon phenomenon. You say, who needs this mysticism, Mike? But I want to find out what he thinks these signals mean and what he thinks is going to happen, because only three times in the past 500 years have four blood moons, known as tetrads, occurred back-to-back on our major Jewish holy days. So laugh at it if you will. If you're of the religious, let's say, orientation, you may find it interesting that only three times in the past 500 years have four blood moons occurred back-to-back and on major Jewish holy days, and the fourth one is coming along very shortly. I'd like to know what he predicts will happen, and I'd like to know if you think it's real, events that particularly affect the Jewish people. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have to give a you don't have to care at all about the Jewish people to understand that Israel and the Jewish people have a very special relationship with the Christian church. That is not the liberal Christian church, which has no relationship with God to begin with. But the fundamentalist Christian church is very much interested in Jews and Israel. They're the only ones who defend it. The liberal capo Jews actually hate Israel. Isn't that interesting? That the capo Jewish liberals, mainly lawyers and such, actually attack Israel, and it's the Christians who actually defend Israel. Isn't that kind of odd? Now, many of you don't know what a capo is. It's probably the worst thing you can call a Jewish person, and you have to study the Holocaust to know what a capo is. Shall I tell you what it is? Or is that too negative? Or should we stick to who do you blame for the police shooting in Ferguson? Let me take one or two callers, and we'll talk about these topics. WFTL in Florida, Marco, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. What I believe is happening in this country is that we're losing our freedom of thought. And we're being, you're seeing groups such as minority groups that are being enslaved by Democrat and liberal ideas by offering them all these products and welfare social programs that basically people...
But that's an old thought. Is there anything new that you'd like to say? We've all heard that. How about the imprisonment of false conservatives who think that they're free because they walk around saying they smoke cigars, play golf, and they love killing animals? Isn't that another form of slavery?
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Isn't that another form of slavery to walk around as a stereotype of a fat, ugly white man who walks around in the globe basically defecating on everybody? Is that not a form of slavery? I'll be right back with Pastor Hagee and the Four Blood Moons. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. And as a result of the agitation by the President, the Attorney General, Al Sharpton, and others, in my opinion, there's something more spiritual, and that is the celestial events that may indicate what's happening on this earth. And we have with us a gentleman who I've long admired, Pastor John Hagee. Pastor Hagee, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, sir. It's my privilege to be with you today.
Pastor Hagee, what actually is what is a blood moon to begin? Because you say four blood moons or tetrads. What does that mean?
A blood moon is when the earth is between the sun and the moon, and the rays of the sun shine through the atmosphere of the earth directly onto the moon and cause it to have a reddish glow. It means that the sun, the earth, and the moon have to be in a perfect alignment for that to happen. That produces a blood moon.
But Pastor Hagee, that's very interesting unto itself. It's sort of a mini eclipse in a way, right?
It is indeed.
Okay. So only I read your book, a best-selling book called Four Blood Moons, and you're going to be doing you have a DVD on this, a theatrical one-night event on March 23rd. I want to know more about it, meaning you say that only three times in the past 500 years have four blood moons occurred back-to-back in our major Jewish holy days. When is the, in 1493, 1948, 1967, when is the next one, Pastor?
Well, they are in process right now. The fourth series of four blood moons began in April of 2014, which was Passover, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, in September 2014. The next blood moon coming up will be April the 4th of this year, And the final blood moon will be September the 28th of this year. The amazing, miraculous thing about these blood moons is that on an exact day, the sun, the earth, and the moon will get into a perfect alignment to produce a blood moon, but on the exact day of Passover and Feast of Tabernacles in 2014 and 15 to the day and the hour.
Now, for those people who are listening who are skeptical, we should say that the blood moon prophecy is only a theory taught by yourself and a few others. And you state that an ongoing tetrad of blood moons, which began with the April 14 lunar eclipse, is a sign of the end times. Is that correct?
Well, actually, the end times began after the day of Pentecost. But when we're talking about the last days, that's right now. And we have in the book of Joel, the second chapter, where I got the exact title for the book, said, I will show wonders in the heavens, the sun shall be turned to darkness, meaning a solar eclipse, and that's going to happen this year, and the moon will be turned to blood before the coming of the day of the Lord. That's a very graphic sentence that's undeniable. The fact of the signals in the heavens began in Genesis 1:14. The Bible says, and let there be lights in the heavens to divide day from night, and let them be for signs and for season. The word sign in Hebrew is oath, which means signal. So God is saying in Joel 2:30, Genesis 1:14, Psalms 19, David writes, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day they utter speech and show knowledge. There's a communication skill demonstrated in that one sentence that's undeniable. The specific signs in history that we have already had that people are more familiar with would be the three wise men following the star in the east to discover the Christ child. Matthew, the second chapter, says, we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. They had followed that star from 500 to 700 miles from Babylon.
Well, you're saying that Jesus is going to come back to earth this time? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm not at all. When this series of blood moons is over, it is a signal from heaven that something is getting ready to change. In each of the previous blood moons, let's go back to 1492 and 3. When the first tetrad came, the Jews were expelled from Spain. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella and the Spanish Inquisition kicked the Jewish people out of Spain. And the Jewish people, gave to a Jewish sailor by the name of Christopher Columbus the maps and the money to find a new homeland for them, which became America.
Wait, hold on. Let me go. Who gave the money to Columbus?
The Jewish people in Spain who were being expelled from Spain. They were given 14 days by King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella to leave the nation of Spain, leave your possessions. Many of them gave their children to Christian families because many of them left in boats that were not seaworthy, lost their lives at sea, and it was a time following the Spanish Inquisition where Jewish people were put on the torture rack when they were burned at the stake by the church. And finally, Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand expelled them from Spain altogether. And then in 1948, when the second tetrad is when Israel became a state, Ben-Gurion on May the 15th, 1948, read the Declaration, and 11 minutes later, President Truman recognized Israel as a state and that America would stand behind them. And then in 1967, the third tetrad appeared, and Jerusalem was unified with the state of Israel after almost 2,000 years. And now we're going through the fourth tetrad, of 2014 and 15, two are passed, two are yet to come. And when we get in September the 28th of this year is the last one. When the series is over, and each of these other three illustrations in history, then something happened that changed the course of history. You look.
Let me bring it to a. I'm sorry, Pastor. You know, this audience may not be following us. I'm following you very well because I've read Ezekiel. I've read about Gog and Magog. I think you and I were on this show together years ago and talked about Persia with regard to Gog and Magog. Can you make it political for the listeners? Do you have any inkling or any knowledge of the celestial events with regard to A, Netanyahu's visit, B, what may be coming nuclear-wise? What's going to happen? Do you know?
Well, that we don't know. I do know that I was in the gallery when Prime Minister Netanyahu was speaking. I was sitting beside Senator Lieberman and some other former senators, and we were listening to what I consider one of the most historic speeches in the history of America.
Absolutely. I was stirred down to the fiber of my being, and I was embarrassed by our president saying he didn't even go there. But nevertheless, I don't want to drag you into that on the political level because you're a man of the church rather than of politics. Yes, Netanyahu's speech warned us about what's coming. Do you think there's going to be an exchange between Israel and Iran? Are they going to take Iran's nukes out?
Well, that is something that I can't say because that's the future. But we, the world, is experiencing the fact that Israel and Iran are on a collision course. And Prime Minister Netanyahu says that the days of the Jews just standing by and watching themselves get slaughtered are over forever. He made that statement in that speech.
Oh, yes.
And
it was very stirring. I don't know why so many Jewish liberals like Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein were so offended by his speech. Do you?
Well, no, I don't, except that their agenda and his agenda are different. He is a prime minister. He is pleading with the world for the safety of the Jewish people in Israel. And many people here do not consider Iran an existential threat to Israel or to us, when Iran's constitution calls for both the destruction of Israel and the United States. They call us the great Satan, and Israel is the little Satan. But
let me intervene here. Pastor Hagee, by the way, who you're listening to on the Savage Nation, is a very significant figure in a group called Christians United for Israel, which he himself founded in 2006. It is now the largest pro-Israel organization in America with some 1.3 million members. And he holds nights where he honors Israel across the nation and at San Antonio's Cornerstone Church, where he serves as senior pastor. His first event in 1981 drew bomb threats and vandalism from anti-Semites. Pastor Hagee, are you currently threatened for your support of Israel?
On a regular basis. Let me help you catch up to speed on those numbers. We now have 2.1 million families who are in Christians United for Israel who have signed an actual document in their pledge to stand up and speak up for Israel. 2.1 million.
Wow. And yet you weren't invited to meet with the president on Netanyahu's historic night. The Netanyahu invited you, I guess.
Well, there were two receptions. One was by the Speaker of the House, Mr. Boehner. He invited my wife and I to attend his reception that happened prior to the speech. And then following the speech, we were invited by the Prime Minister to meet with him and to with other people who were there. I have known the Prime Minister since 1985, and we are dear friends. He has been in my home, and I've
wow.
had the opportunity to be with him many, many times.
Why, you know, this is the Pastor Hagee, you know, this is what disturbs me, Michael Savage, the most. Why is it that it's fundamentalist Christians such as yourself who are the strongest supporters of Israel, while liberal Jewish people seem to attack Israel? What in the world is that about?
Well, the reason what's that about is whether or not you believe the Bible. the connection between Christians in the United States and the Jewish people of Israel is the Bible. Supporting Israel is not a political issue, it's a Bible issue. The Bible begins in Genesis 12:3 with God speaking to Abraham saying, I will bless those who bless you, speaking of the Jewish people, and I will curse those who curse you. I have 3 university earned degrees, and I can reduce world history and nations to one sentence. The nations from the day of civilization's birth that blessed Israel have been blessed of God, and the nations that cursed Israel have become have wound up in the boneyard of human history.
Pastor Hagee, I agree with you, and yet I see that it's Jewish liberal civil rights activists who are behind the Boycott Israel campaign. Where do they fit into all of this? Do they not understand that they're calling for the destruction of the Jewish state?
Well, they have an ideology that sees the current situation between Israel and Iran in a totally different light. And that is the reason that as we speak right now, the election in Iran is up for grabs because there is a great division about how much of a threat the nuclear Iran situation happens to be. I believe the Prime Minister is absolutely right that if we allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon, it is to the detriment of Israel and the United States.
We're speaking with Pastor John Hagee about the 4 blood moons, and he's certainly not making any predictions, but he's sensing that there's something coming as a result of all of it. We all sense it, by the way. And I want to talk about the end times, what it really means from a Christian perspective. And what about God saying, Son of Man, set thy face toward Gog of the land of Magog. What does that all mean? I'll be right back to discuss these issues with Pastor John Hagee on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Tens of millions of Christians support Israel, and what's shocking is how many Jewish liberals fight against Israel on a daily basis. But I'm not surprised by the disease of liberalism. I've been trying to diagnose it and treat it my entire adult life. If you read the Bible, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, you can see a prophecy. It says, in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. And he said, in that day that the nations come against Israel, there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field are all creeping things that creep upon the ground, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Pastor Hagee, doesn't that indicate that Israel will suffer?
What that indicates is at some point in the future, there will be a coalition of armies that come against Israel. The moment they put their foot on the covenant soil of Israel, God Almighty is going to send an earthquake and other calamities in which 5 out of 6 of those invading armies are destroyed. People who present the end times as the detriment to Israel have it backwards. Whenever the nations that have been tormenting Israel for centuries all get together, God is going to have a day of reckoning, and he's going to wipe them off the map. Israel is going to prevail.
Pastor Hagee, tell my audience in the minute that remains when your movie is being released and what it's about.
We have a movie coming out on March the 23rd, and it's appearing in 700 theaters across America. Those who would like to go can go online to 4bloodmoonsmovie.com and find out where the theater is closest to you that's showing this movie. This movie shows the trial and the triumph of the Jewish people from the Spanish Inquisition through the 48 War.
And it's called 4bloodmoons.com is the website?
Yes, 4bloodmoonsmovie.com.
Pastor Hagee, let me say God bless you and thank you very much for being a friend of the Jewish people. It's very rare in this world. Thank you very much and good luck.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, as we enter hour number three of The Savage Nation, it's important to say what we've been talking about. We've been talking in the first hour and a half about Obama, Holder, Sharpton and company steaming up African-Americans until eventually two cops got shot today in Ferguson. And now all three of them are saying, oh, we didn't say that. We didn't say shoot the police. That's horrible. But we know how these things work. And then last hour I had Pastor John Hagee on, who was talking about prophecies known as the four blood moons. And it doesn't really matter whether someone really believes in the Bible or believes in prophecies in the Bible. I think what's important here is to know that millions of conservative Christians are the greatest friends of Israel in the United States of America. And many Jewish liberals of the most extreme kind are the worst enemies Israel has ever seen. So if you want to talk about those topics or any of the other news of the day, I certainly invite you to call the show at 855-400-7282. Let's begin on line 4, FTL in Florida. Go ahead, please, Justin.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
Do you expect me to answer that?
Well, actually, I wanted to talk to you. The reason I'm calling in, sir, is about Pastor Hagee and his four blood moon prediction. I don't have a problem with anything Pastor Hagee was saying about supporting Israel or anything along those lines. But what I have an issue with is the doomsaying and telling people the end of the world is here. You know, I actually have researched this topic extensively. I wrote a book called The End of the World Delusion. And what happens is these people are twisting the signs around to make it fit, to make it appear as if we are in the end times.
Go on. I'm listening to you. You have the ears of millions of people. So what are we in?
There is no telling when the world is going to end. The Bible actually says no man knows the day or the hour. But when people say, well, there's going to be four blood moons and the fourth one is in 2015, I'm sorry, there's just no evidence. There's been plenty of years where there have been blood moons and nothing significant has happened.
Yet we read that in the past blood moon, pretty significant things happened for, you know, in the past. And he quoted those things that happened when such moons appeared before, didn't he? You're not denying the past, I don't think, are you?
Absolutely not. Of course, things have happened. Significant events have happened. They've always happened. Significant events will always continue to happen.
He said that only four times in 500 years has this happened. And it's happening now, and he thinks it's a very significant time. Putting aside biblical prophecy and putting aside whether you think that's fantasy or not, you have to admit these are very special times, right?
There's always special times. Every century has always had events of significance. There's always been major discoveries. There's always been major battles. There's been significant upheaval and risings and revolution.
Yeah, but in the past, the rare appearance of the four blood moons coincided with events such as in 1492 when Spain expelled the Jews. In 1948 when they occurred, Israel was reborn. In 1967 when they occurred, Israel won the Six-Day War. And now they're about to occur again. I mean, it's enough to attract the attention even of the most skeptical atheist, I would think.
Absolutely. I mean, there are significant events that have happened. And in the past, there have been years where they've correlated to blood moon events. Of course, there have also been plenty of years where there have been blood moons, even four blood moons, the tetrads, as Peggy referred to them. And there have been those significant events during those years.
All right, so you remain skeptical. You don't think it has any meaning, right?
Absolutely. There's nothing to be worried about. If people are concerned that because there's a blood moon that things are not going to go well or that things are going to go in a certain direction. There's no evidence supporting that one way or the other. Nobody can predict what will happen. Although, of course, there are significant events, just as there always are.
All right, but did you find Pastor Hagee being on the show offensive?
No, I don't find him personally offensive. In fact, I like a lot of what he has to say. The only thing that I have an issue with is people saying that these are the end times and the doom and gloom. That has serious repercussions. When people think that these are the end times, they may get depressed in cases that's even less.
What about Obama agitating people against each other, starting a new race hatred and a race war? Isn't this an indicator of very disturbing times?
It's a huge problem. I don't think it means it's a sign of end times, per se. But it is.
What about Obama and Hillary Clinton starting a third world war potential with Russia? Isn't that indicative of very strange times, that after 50 years, all of a sudden the Cold War is reignited by Obama and Hillary Clinton? Aren't these strange times?
Well, as I said, there are always strange times. There are always.
I agree. All right, I agree with you. But you're not ascribing them to any celestial events, is what you're saying. And I do appreciate the level of articulateness that you brought to the discussion, truthfully. You know, I really do appreciate that. Thank you very much. 855-400-7282. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Now we're getting to, I think this is very interesting material. In that, whether or not you believe in the four blood moons or that this or that's going to happen, when you see that we have an agitator in the White House who is pitting races against each other, agitating on a daily basis, and steaming up the masses, and then you see police being shot in America, not as a result of left-wing agitators in the streets, but as a result of left-wing agitators in the White House and other high places, then you have to accept the fact that we live in very dangerous times. That's all. WMAL in Washington, go ahead and make your point on any topic, please.
Hi, Michael. Yes, sir. I am a atheist liberal, but don't hang up. Interesting discussion.
No, some of my best friends are atheist liberals. I'm joking.
I'm sorry. Bad joke.
That's a joke. That's a joke. Some of my best friends are atheist liberals. I haven't had one to dinner, but you get the joke, right?
We're good. I'm a vegan on top of that. The discussion that I...
Don't blame me for that.
No, not at all. Personal choice. The discussion...
But wait, if you're an atheist, liberal, vegan, why are you listening to Michael Savage since I'm such a bad guy?
Oh, no, you're a great guy. I just don't... I mean, it's America. Everybody's entitled to their opinions. You guys have great ones. I just don't believe that...
You mean I am now lumped in with others of my ilk?
Oh, no. You know that
I have a tremendous ego and I think I'm in a class of my own. You know that.
You left me speechless.
You didn't think I would make such an admission, did you?
No. You're a fair guy. I just wanted to call in and give the atheist point of view.
I shouldn't have interrupted. I'm just trying to banter with you, and you're too serious because you need a good dose of vitamin B12. You need a good piece of meat and a glass of wine in order to be able to laugh. But go ahead, please.
Barbecue won't fix, right? The discussion that I heard was a good one, but what I heard was foreign policy based on theology. I'm not wrong.
You mean that Pastor Hagee in stating that Iran shouldn't be allowed to get the bomb is based on theology, and you're afraid of that connection? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well,
what about foreign policy being based upon the false theology of liberalism? That's sort of a religion to many people, isn't it?
That's a distraction from what I was calling.
No, it's not a distraction. In other words, there are formal theologies, such as the formal religions, and then there are theologies just as powerful, just as meaningful, and just as eventful as the religions, and they would be communism, fascism, liberalism, you name it. And I would say that those theologies are, or you want to put, I call them doxies rather than theologies, because every theology has a set of rules or doxies. Liberals follow their doxies the same way as Christians and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims do. And I'm saying that they are just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than are the religious folks who follow their own doxies.
I don't see it that way, obviously. I don't think that you can lump liberals in with communists. They share.
Well, you don't think I can when most of the philosophy of liberalism as espoused and practiced today is almost indistinguishable from that of Marx and Engels and that ilk of the Bolshevik revolution?
Yeah, well, for that matter, I could group you in with...
Well, I mean, you talk about income redistribution. What is that rhetoric based upon?
I tell you what, income redistribution starts in the boardroom. Class war...
No, income redistribution starts when the money is taken out of my paycheck. Income redistribution has been going on in this country since the income tax was introduced. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the haters out there who are now talking about income inequality. What are they implying? Everybody should have an equal income?
No, not at all.
What are they saying? You're telling me the thugs in the streets of Ferguson with bandanas on who shoot police are entitled to make a living?
Nothing to do with Ferguson. I was calling in about...
Well, no, I'm talking about Ferguson because it's all related to what you're saying. You're saying that liberals and communists are totally different. I disagree. They're very close. They're very kissing cousins, and they both have mononucleosis.
You can say that. Sure.
But all right, I think we've exhausted the topic. There's there's no more juice left in that orange. But it was fun talking with an atheist liberal vegan, to be honest with you. We have such good... Do I have time for one quick caller here at Shorty? I'm going to try a good one because this gentleman is educated. James, on KFAY, it says that you teach scriptures from Greek and Hebrew. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And so what would you like to say about this Four Blood Moon stuff?
Well, first I'd like to say there's no such thing as a true atheist because they can't really define their belief. Secondly, the caller you had on before that who was talking about nobody knows the day or the hour... When you look at that scripture in the Greek, because it was originally in Hebrew and then in Greek, it says no man intuitively knows, because the word for know could be knowing something by studying, which is a different Greek word than what was used in that passage. The word they used was to intuitively know, which means nobody just instinctively automatically knows unless they're given a revelation by God.
Now, James, you say you teach the scriptures from the Greek and the Hebrew. That means you're literate in both of the languages, correct?
For the most part, yeah. I use a
lot. Well, I greatly respect learning. That's first of all. I want to say that from the outset. I myself do not understand Greek. I only know a very little bit of Hebrew. It's a very complex language, and I have no facility for it. But if I read the Old Testament in translation, and I look at Joshua, and in Joshua 10:13, it says, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies." It seems to me that that prophecy in Joshua is predicting a nuclear exchange.
Well, one could look at it that way, but that's kind of adding an imagination into the word itself. Okay, but the scripture does say when Jesus talks about the end of the world and the coming, his second coming, he says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. And when you clue into what happened in the days of Noah, go back to Genesis, it says the earth was filled with violence. And that word violence, I don't think it's a coincidence that the word violence is the Hebrew word Hamas. And it's kind of ironic.
Really? Did you just say what I heard, that the Hebrew word for violence is Hamas?
Yes, it is. It's C-H, which is a chas, it's a chet. It's a Hamas sound. That's the word that's used for what's translated into English as violence. So,
I didn't know that. That's a revelation to me. I love educated, literate individuals like yourself. Would you please stay on the line, James? I'd like to have another few minutes for the audience to appreciate what you're saying. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. Who do you blame for the police shooting in Ferguson is one topic, and it's not going to go away. The other topic is the biblical prophecy, as expressed by my guest. And now we have a scholar who teaches scriptures from Greek and Hebrew. James, welcome back from KFAY Radio. What is your main point on Pastor Hagee's interview with me?
Well, the caller after him that refuted him about not knowing the day or the hour,
The scripture does not say that. In the Greek, it says you won't intuitively know, but it does say later on in the passage that the goodman, the good servant, will be aware of the coming of his master, which means he'll know when the coming of his master is. And the word there that is used is to know by experience, to know by study, to know by learnedness what is going to happen. And we all know that when you look at history, history repeats itself over and over again.
But as a scholar yourself, are you into prophecy through the Bible?
By no means a scholar. No, I'm just a simple, self-taught, learned man. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, but if you can read Greek and Hebrew, it doesn't matter to me whether you have a degree in anything. I'm just saying you can read the original manuscripts or as close to original as we can get. What do you see there? Any prophecy?
I see that there's a lot that can be left up to conjecture. Those who have a yearning and a heart to follow the author of the scripture, which would be God, in my opinion, will have a revelation. It says in the Old Testament that when the time comes, the end will be known. Young men will have visions. Old men will dream dreams. Your sons and your
daughters. Oh, I know that one. I've been quoting that one for years.
Right.
Old men will have visions and young men will dream dreams. Do I remember that one?
Yeah. So the idea that people are going to just instinctively know that because of this marks the end or the beginning of the end, I think that's a little conjecturous. But John Hagee does study, and I'll give him that. He does study. But what is he studying exactly? Because, like the next caller, he's studying things from the English language.
All right, I appreciate it, but I don't want to now denigrate him behind his back. I think we've gone far enough, and I thank you very much. Many people take the Bible literally. Many people laugh at it and scoff at it, and I'm not here to tell you what you should do or shouldn't do. It's that simple. Some see the Bible as poetry. Some see it as fiction. Some see it as the fantasies of vitamin-deficient olive growers in ancient Israel. How has the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Sounds like America, doesn't it? Sounds like America to me. And I'm not a particularly religious man. I'm very spiritual.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
A pure ambush. This was not someone trying to bring healing to Ferguson. This was a damn punk who was trying to sow discord in an area
that
was
like
trying
you?
To get its act together and trying to bring together a community.
Oh, that's
that
such rubbish.
Fractured for
you know,
too
you know
long.
We've heard this before. They agitate the mobs for 8 months straight. He goes back and forth to Ferguson trying to hang the policemen. Hang the police department, hang the entire edifice of the Ferguson Police Department, trying to lynch them for 8 straight months. Now suddenly he's there saying they're punks, and this was not legitimate, and he had nothing to do with it, and him and Obama are shocked, and there's no relationship between what they were doing and the shooting. Yeah, right, of course. There's no relationship between words and acts. I understand that, especially when you're the most important law enforcement official in the land. All right, let's move on. Heather on WBOB Radio. Topic, please. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, Michael. I was calling to speak to what the gentleman, your earlier caller, said, the one that wrote the book. It said that the celestial signs are not indicative of the things to come to pass. I am a studier and a student of the Bible.
Okay, but Heather, listen, I'm sorry I'm going to have to say goodbye because the sound quality is no good. You're very good. But the sound quality, you never should have been taken. Can someone tell Jim that what just happened, since he can't hear this? KBET Radio. Guy, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. What Pastor Hagee said was, from Genesis, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse them will be cursed. And I think our commander in Greece is more on the cursing side than the blessing side. And he went on to say that everybody that was ever on the wrong side, paid the price.
Well, does he mean America is going to pay the price for the commander-in-chief?
You know, it's just the idea that as America, we should be blessing Israel, be on their side, not against them.
Well, we were until this left-wing fanatic took over the presidency. America has always supported Israel in the midst of the most hostile anti-life individuals the world's ever seen. There was a sea of beauty created in Israel. A civilization sprang out of the desert sands. And, of course, that's the narrative that they don't want to accept. They want to say they stole the land and, again, that the Palestinians were the slaves. I get the analogy. I know how it works. The freedom fighters, they're not really terrorists. I get the whole picture. But the fact of the matter is the president is the first one in modern American history to have fundamentally turned his back on Israel. What will happen is anybody's guess. Netanyahu came here and said he'll go it alone if he has to. That's what he said. And let's pray to God we don't have to see that day that the United States actually goes to war against Israel. That could happen. Zbigniew Brzezinski, the man who I would cast if I were redoing a World War II movie, and I needed an actor to play an SS or an SA officer, I would use him. I'm not implying he's a Nazi in any way, nor that his policies are Nazi-like, nor those of Jimmy Carter. But I'm just saying, if I were to cast someone in the political realm, in the role of a Waffen-SS officer, cold-hearted type, I would cast Zbigniew Brzezinski, only because I'm a fiction writer, not because of his policies, of course. And yet, Zbigniew Brzezinski was the one, according to what we've read, who said that they threatened to shoot down Israeli planes as near as a few months ago if the Israelis dared to strike Iran. He said, well, they got to fly over Iraq. We control that airspace. We will shoot the Israeli planes down. Didn't that just come out 2 weeks ago before Netanyahu's visit? So it's anyone's guess what these evildoers at the highest level of government are plotting against Israel and against the American people. On a domestic front, we kind of get a taste of it on a daily basis. And one of the results of their plotting was the shooting of the two police officers today in Ferguson, which they immediately jumped in and said, oh, boy, that's terrible. We really condemn it. We had nothing to do with it. We certainly didn't. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. Anyway, 8 months we've been down there with Al Sharpton, agitating him, steaming him up, giving him marching orders, maybe giving him 3 hot meals and a check. Oh, no, we had nothing to do with it. No, 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 no. So where this goes in Ferguson is anyone's guess. What I'd like to know is why they have not been taken off the streets after 8 months. I'd like to know why the federal government has not sent in the anti-riot squad, because there is a law on the books, which I read months ago, which there's an anti-riot law on the books to prevent this kind of agitation and this kind of action. In case you don't know it. This is no longer First Amendment freedom of assembly. Bull. Nonsense. That's rubbish. They made their point. They made it over and over again. They made it over and over and over again. They're there for one reason only, and that's to disarm the police in America. And they're there because the president and what is his name? Holder, want a federal police force. And they're trying to use Ferguson as a linchpin to turn all local police powers over to themselves. Look, you don't have to ask yourself whether I'm right or wrong. I'm right. Can you prove it? No. Any more than you can find out what's on Hillary Clinton's 30,000 missing emails. You're never going to find out what Ferguson is all about from the point of view of Obama and Holder. My opinion is they've agitated 8 straight months with their street armies in an attempt to disarm the police and turn them into a federal police force. That's what I see going on here. It finally blew up in their face. Now they're making believe they had nothing to do with it. And that's why it's such a big story. It's much bigger than two policemen being shot. And by the way, I love the LA Times says, both officers were released from the hospital and not serious injuries. Well, one cop was shot just beneath his eye, and the bullet is lodged behind his ear. I wonder if one of those superb, brave men or women at the LA Times who made that statement can show us that that's not a minor injury, a bullet sitting behind your ear. Moreover, it leads us to ask what kind of bullet was used. Let's talk about it now. It was certainly a low-caliber round. It was not a 223, incidentally, because it would have gone right through their head. This was not a a round that you'd see in an AR-15, because I've shot them on shooting ranges, and it was developed specifically for penetrating at long distance. My guess is this was shot, it was a small caliber, 22 caliber rifle used by someone behind the protesters. If not, who knows? It was, we don't know that it wasn't one of the protesters. Do we know it really didn't come from someone holding a 22 caliber handgun in the crowd? Listen to the report of the guns again on the Savage Nation and tell me what you think. Go ahead, play it for them, Robert. Sound of a human being in pain just shot in the eye, which is not serious to the liberals at the LA Times. The pain is not real because he's a pig. He's a pig in a police uniform. He's a white man, so that's not real human pain. That meant nothing. And what were they doing? They were protecting the police station from the vermin in the streets. The street agitators, the armies of the night created by the federal government. So this is a very serious thing. And I don't think we should just throw it away so quickly. It's sickening, by the way, to listen to the cover-up by Obama and Holder. And the worst of them all is a man who's agitated against the police his entire life, who's made a fortune off it. His lawyers made a fortune off suing the NYPD for all these years. Listen to what Al Sharpton, one of the worst examples of humanity, had to say today in clip 9.
And we were saying how the protests and all helped to lead to a climate where the Justice Department would come in the first place. There wouldn't have been an investigation. And that we were commending a lot of those that had continued to protest nonviolently.
Shut him off. I can't stand his voice. His very voice gets me sick. The voice itself is filled with hate. It's filled with deceit. He sounds like a snake. But it was this man himself who agitated the crowds over these last 8 months, was it not? You disagree with me? Was it not the very same stooge of Microsoft and NBC who was out there over and over and over again agitating the crowd, saying that there has to be payment? Listen to clip 12, and shame on you, Bill Gates, for permitting this clown to espouse his hatred on your network, MSNBC.
No.
Listen to it again.
America would tolerate an 18-year-old boy laying in the street 4.5 hours, and we're not going to tolerate it either. Whatever happened, the value of this boy's life must be answered by somebody.
So they were answered today. That's all. They shot two cops. Now he's ducking behind some other rhetoric that they wrote for him. You know, if I had agitated somewhere in America in the streets, screaming about something and saying that whatever happened here must be answered, and then later on a liberal, God forbid, was injured in a shooting, I would be off the radio the next second. Do you know that? I wouldn't last 1 minute. So the question is, why is it that agitators like this Sharpton, why is it that Bill Gates with Microsoft and MSNBC, run by, I don't really know who runs NBC anymore, I really don't. I know they have a stooge named Phil Griffin, who should have been fired a long time ago, not just for running it off the rails with these lowlifes on there, these anti-American, anti-family, anti-male, anti-woman rhetoricians, but he's destroyed not only the ratings but the nation's fabric. Why is he not fired? I don't understand who's running NBC. Who is behind NBC that they let this go on? They are a public trust. And as a public trust using the public airwaves, if they continuously agitate submoronic, violent people in the streets, what do you expect is going to happen? What just happened? So if you care to talk about that, I guess you can. Let's go to line number 9. Mark is holding. Go ahead, please, Mark. Say what you've got to say.
I'm just curious as to whether a provocateur could have been responsible to further Obama's agenda with regard to Ferguson.
But wait a minute. Why would this help Obama? This hurts Obama.
Well, to incite the killing of two cops and to make it seem like...
Look, I'm very aware of the use of agent provocateurs. I know how that operates. But the fact of the matter is, Obama had nothing to gain by this. He loses by this because he was one of the chief architects of steaming up the crowds in Ferguson. He met with the Ferguson protest leader over and over again. Just this last weekend, he brought up Ferguson again as though it was a wound that needed to be healed. So he has tremendous responsibility for this act today, in my opinion, by steaming people up. I don't think he gains by this. Thank you for the call. Now, the only person who gained by this is Hillary Clinton. That's the sad truth, because you'll notice you've all forgotten about Emailgate. I almost said Filegate. No Emailgate. But it was I who reminded you just yesterday or the day before that, God forbid, well, play clip 32 again for the conspiracy theorists amongst us. The scandal will probably go on for a while. And the Democrats have other viable candidates. After all, there's the great Joe Biden. Imagine him running America. How would you like that one? Or will Bill Clinton save the day for her? Or is the Obama administration secretly trying to sabotage her candidacy? There's no love lost between the Clinton camp and the Obama camp. Will another crisis coming along any moment now make everyone forget about this scandal? After all, it's been used before. Remember Wag the Dog when Bill Clinton bombed Serbia on very, very small pretense? In order to drive Monica off the headlines, you forgot that? And then, of course, there was Waco, came along at another inconvenient moment with an inconvenient truth. Then, of course, there was Oklahoma City that came along at a very interesting time. And now the shooting of the police has suddenly wiped Emailgate off the headlines. Who knows? Maybe that's what the four blood moons mean. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
Community in America would tolerate an 18-year-old boy laying in the street 4.5 hours, and we're not going to tolerate it either. Whatever happened, the value of this boy's life must be answered by somebody.
Well, if we had a legitimate president, you'd be arrested under the Federal Anti-Riot Act. You see, I'm going to close the show by reminding you that there is a Federal Anti-Riot Act that is not being enforced by Barack Obama and Eric Holder. In fact, they're on the other side of the law. You see, inciting a riot is against the law. You see, crossing state lines to incite riots violates the law. Yet President Obama and Attorney General Holder did not mention this was law-breaking in Ferguson. No, not at all. They said, oh, we want calm, but did they arrest anybody? What exactly is the Federal Anti-Riot Act? One, whoever travels in interstate or foreign commerce or uses any facility of interstate or foreign commerce or uses any facility of interstate or foreign commerce, including but not limited to mail, telegraph, telephone, radio, television, with intent to incite a riot or to organize, promote, encourage, participate in, or carry on a riot, or to commit any act of violence in furtherance of a riot, or to aid or abet any person inciting or participating in or carrying on a riot, blah, 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 shall be fined not more than $10,000 or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both. In any prosecution under this section, proof that a defendant engaged or attempted to engage in one or more of the avowed acts described in subparagraph A, B, C, or D above, or has traveled in interstate or foreign commerce, blah, 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 the proof is for all of us to see with our own eyes. Who traveled there to incite the riot? Tell me who traveled there. Does anyone listening to the show know who the Revolution Club of Chicago is? Does anyone know who the New Black Panthers are? Does anyone know who Al Sharpton is? Does anyone know who these groups are? Revolution Club Chicago, crossing state lines to incite a riot, in my opinion. Are we now a lawless nation under Barack Obama, who makes up laws as he goes along and decides which laws shall be followed and which shall not? Illegal immigration. He broke the law on that. He made up his own law. Inciting riots in cases of race. Those seem to be indicative of this administration. It seems that their orientation towards riots is quite clear. What was the oath of office that Barack Obama and Eric Holder took with regard to enforcing the laws of the nation. Look at them very carefully and study the Federal Anti-Riot Act. And then ask yourself why this has been permitted to fester. This is Michael Savage saying God bless America and good night.